habis itu.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm so thankful for the praise team service in that way. Amen. Wow. Wow. Pastor Mark, you do a wonderful, amazing job. Thank you for leading us in praise team. It's obvious that God has anointed you guys as worship leaders. Thank you all so much. We continue in our series, The Building Blocks of Faith. The Building Blocks of Faith. And the title of today's message is, What's in it for me? That question, that really comes up a lot, right? What's in it for me? That really captures that classic cost-benefit analysis where we kind of make decisions, right? Based upon, what's the net benefit? Is this going to be good for me, or is this going to be trouble for me? Am I going to benefit from it, or is it going to cost me? And we usually say yes to something if we are going to gain from it, right? If the benefits outweigh the cost, we're going to go forward. But if it overall costs us, then we're probably going to avoid it like the plague, or we're going to go into it half-hearted. Y'all done it before, right? You looked at the situation and you said, I really don't want to do it, but for whatever reason, I feel obligated, so I'm going to go into it half-hearted, and the whole time I'm looking for a good reason to get out of it, right? Y'all been there before, right? That's that classic cost-benefit analysis. What's in it for me? And oftentimes, we've brought that mentality into the church world. And I think if you look around, it's actually plaguing the church, right? It's a plague on the church. We come and we approach, what's in it for me? Maybe you've seen this video before, but as I was thinking, praying, preparing this week, this video came to mind to sort of just capture that what's in it for me mindset. So check this out.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Today, if I said there's a pony in your backyard, some of y'all get mad, right? You know, think about that for just a moment. But guys, that's so often how we approach church, the Me Church. You know, it's President John F. Kennedy who famously said back in 1961 in that inaugural speech, "My fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." But you know, we as a nation have forgotten that, haven't we? We've forgotten that we're supposed to jump in and serve and do all those things. Today we seem to have flip-flopped it and we ask not what you can do for your country, but ask what your country can do for you. And we brought that mentality into the church, right? Because we're people, we're fish, we swim in the culture, we rub elbows with people all out in the society and all the things, and we've sort of picked it up and brought it in. And today, so many folks in the church ask not what you can do for the church, ask what your church can do for you. In other words, we come at it with, what's in it for me? Is that what the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind? Is that what the Lord Jesus Christ died for? Did he die that it could all be about us? Right? I mean, we're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? Followers of Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ ever say, I ain't worried about what I can do for the church. I'm worried about what the church can do for me. Is that what Jesus said? Man, no way. Did Jesus ever ask, what's in it for me? Actually, the opposite. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says this. Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus Christ came to serve, and he came to serve others. He came to love. And this very well might be a blow to some of our minds here this morning, but the Bible never commands us to love ourselves. Let me say that again. You look at the Bible, it never commands you to love yourself. And I know that seems strange in like the self-esteem age and all that stuff, and we're trying to pump everybody up and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings because we want them to feel great about themselves. But the Bible never commands that because God knows you. We don't have to be taught to love ourselves. We actually have to be taught to love others, don't we? We have to be taught to put others in front of ourselves. To command people to love themselves would be like commanding water to be wet. Right? Well, water is naturally wet, and so it's unnecessary to command it to be wet. And so in the same way, we naturally love ourselves. We naturally want our way, but Christ has come commanding us to love God and love others. To serve God and to serve others. And when we turn our attention to the second block of the building blocks of faith and talk about church membership, that's what we're going to talk. It's going to be the topic today. I pray that the me church mentality this morning would die a thousand deaths. Amen. The point this morning I want to share with you is simply this. The point of this morning's message, become a member of the local body to serve others. Not what's in it for me, but how can I serve others? Join the local body to serve others. Now, certainly there's the universal church, right? I mean, every person who is a follower of Jesus Christ, whoever has been, whoever will be, they are part of the universal church automatically. But that universal church, it can't meet all together at one time, can it? Right? I mean, if we try to get all the Christians in the world together, it would be impossible for us to do so. And God in his providence, he called pastors and planters and apostles to plant local churches in every city. In every city, so that people could come together and love one another and serve one another, be committed to one another. God expects every person who is part of the local church, every person who's part of the universal church, actually, he expects every person who's part of the universal church to be connected to a local body, a local church in their community. And so, in that local church, what are we supposed to do? We're to come looking to serve others. I wonder this morning. I know that you came looking to be fed, and that's awesome. But I pray as you're here, you consider this question. How can I serve the people that I'm worshiping with? Our text this morning is really helpful in helping us see how we can do that. So I hope you brought your copy of God's Word. Go ahead and grab it. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we'll be. The 23rd verse is where we'll begin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word, please. God's holy, inerrant, infallible, sufficient, divine, authoritative Word says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray you would speak to us, Lord. God, you've already spoken through your word, but I pray that it would, in a sense, would leap off that page and into our minds and then down into our hearts, God, and then out in our lives. God, please don't let us be hearers only. God, but help us be doers of your word that we might live your word out for your glory and for our good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do you serve others when you gather together in a local body? First this morning, the text tells us that we are to help your brothers and sisters persevere in the faith. That's the first way that we serve other people. Help your brothers and sisters persevere in the faith. The writers of Hebrews here, the writer of Hebrews, I should say, encourages. Look at verse 23 again. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, we've been encouraged here in the Bible to hold fast the faith, right? To latch on, to cling to the faith, and we are never, ever, 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 ever called to do this alone. Did you notice the we here, the group? Let us hold fast. God has called us. When he saves you into the church universal, he expects you to link arms with those right around you. He says, get into a community, basically. Let us hold fast. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so thankful that God has not called me to walk the walk of faith all by myself. Amen? I mean, just imagine it. If you were just by yourself trying to live for Jesus, how hard would that be? But praise God, he's given us co-laborers. He's given us co-hearts. He's given us co-warriors, co-soldiers, some brothers at arms. It might be true for the soldier in the army, but brother, I ain't an army of one. No way, no how, right? God has brought us together. God has linked me with fellow believers that I could stand strong against my sin, against my flesh, and against the devil. It's true. There are no lone rangers in the church. And if you really, think about it. Even the lone ranger wasn't alone, right? He had Tonto. Right, Kibosabi? he had a partner. It was actually Tonto that saved the lone ranger's hide, if you've ever seen the first episode. We need people to come alongside us to help us along. And I'm so thankful that God has given me people like you, that I don't have to walk alone. That's why church membership is so important, y'all. I know that maybe in 2014, America, it seems strange. Maybe it's out of touch with the culture and all those things, but it's so important. Think about what church membership does. Church membership is covenanting together, promising to love somebody in Jesus, to hold them accountable, and to help them grow in the faith. That's what church membership is. It's saying, I'm going to be with you, and you're going to be with me, and together, we're going to serve and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It really helps define who has committed to help me persevere in my faith. That's what church membership does. Maybe you've never thought about church membership in that way this morning. But church membership is a promise or a covenant to love and support the folks in this local body. How many of y'all think that life sometimes can be discouraging? Right? Come on. You better believe it. I bet this week you had something in your life that you almost said, just forget it. Where's my towel? I'm done. God has given us people to hold us up, to carry us through those tough situations, that they're committed to be there with you. When you face temptations, I'm not going to ask you who faced temptations this week, because let's be honest, we'd all have to raise our hands, wouldn't we? So it's not even it's a moot question. I don't even have to ask that. But through our brothers and sisters in Christ there with us, we together can stand against those temptations. We can lean on one another. That's why we need brothers and sisters to surround us. Because think about the strategy of the devil. The Bible says that he's like a roaring lion prowling about seeking whom he can devour. You ever see lions hunt? Man, the lions don't run into the thick of the herd, do they? They're looking for the straggler. They're looking for the one on the outskirts. They're looking at the one that they can run into and kind of divert off by itself where it has no help whatsoever. And that's what the devil desires to do to you. When the seed of faith begins to sprout in you. The devil wants to do everything in his power to get you by himself so he can get his old nasty claws on you and have his way with you. He desires to pull you away from the flock. But church membership says, uh-uh, devil, you can't have him. He's with us and we're with him. You mess with him, you mess with me. That's what church membership's all about. And so how specifically do we help our brothers and sisters? How do we help them persevere? Well, we come alongside them with emotional support. Like I said, life's hard. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says this. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's what it should be like in the church. When one of you guys gets promotion, man, we should all be excited about it. When your grandmother passes away, we should all be grieved by it, right? There's a camaraderie, there's a fellowship of life, encouraging one another, supporting one another, and that helps a person persevere in the faith when you walk with them through the emotions of life. Secondly, though, not just emotional support, but we bring spiritual support. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, I want you to see this, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. I want you to see the love that's supposed to come out in the church. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Did you notice that? Right? Spiritual support. If we see a brother or sister going astray, we don't just say, come on back anytime. Whenever you're ready, just come on back. No, no, no. We go after them, right? We lovingly pursue. We lovingly rebuke if we have to. We call them back. We say, don't go down that path. That path is danger. That path is death. We love you enough to get involved in your life. Really, that's what it's all about, is being involved in one another's life, holding one another accountable to love God and to follow God. I particularly like where it says, bear one another's burdens. That spiritual support. When life begins to crush us down, we know that we have a people that we can turn to bear that weight up when doubt creeps in. That crushing doubt, we have someone to turn to and say, brother, pray for me. Because I'm struggling right now. Some of this is not making sense, and I just don't know about it anymore. But we have people that we can turn to. So emotionally, we can support each other. We can spiritually support each other. We can pray for one another. Guys, don't forget that prayer is a powerful ministry, isn't it? Think about what the Bible says. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Guys, we pray for one another. We pray that we would serve God, that we would have a life full of joy, that we would not fall into sin and all the things that come along with life. We pray for one another. And then finally, how do we help a person persevere? How do we help our brothers and sisters? We come alongside them when they are weak. You know, every one of us, right, we have moments in our life when we're stronger than in others. And Paul, in Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, he captures it so beautifully. Listen to what it says. Romans 15, verse 1 and 2. He says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Did you catch that? Listen again. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. When we're strong, we come alongside others who are weak and we help them along. That's how we help our brothers and sisters persevere. And let me say this morning that it's vitally important that we persevere in the faith, that we remain in the faith. Of course, it's not all our strength. God is persevering us, but nevertheless, we're holding on to God as He holds on to us. But it's vitally important that we help one another persevere because the Scripture is clear. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, listen to what it says. Colossians 1, verse 21, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. And here's the key part. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. In other words, guys, only those that persevere to the end are the ones who are actually saved. Two Fridays ago, I got some news that, I mean, I really just couldn't believe. One of my pastor friends, I mean, he lived in Florida, and of course, I lived in Tennessee, and now in Kentucky. We wrote together, we worked on stuff for the Southern Baptist Convention together, we worked on resolutions and things like that together through the internet. We were teammates along with some other men who were working on some things. And he was vocal. I mean, he was a strong believer in the Bible. He was active in his church. He had a family with like several children, a wife, all these things. He was active in the Florida Baptist Convention. He was active in the Southern Baptist Convention. And 2 weeks ago, I was noticing him writing some things, and he kept talking about Christians as if he wasn't one anymore. And so I emailed him. I said, I'm seeing some things. I mean, should I be concerned? What's going on in your life? And he wrote me back. He said, yeah, that's right. These days, I'm an atheist. Not only is he an atheist, now he's working actually to go the other way. He's like an evangelist for atheists. In other words, he's working to tear down people's faith that they might reject God. Guys, as I heard that, I just thought to myself, if I had only known that he was struggling, right? I wonder if people in his church had any idea that doubts were creeping up in his mind. I said, what happened to you? He said, old doubts came back up and they won. I now believe that it's all fake, that it's all false. And my heart sank because I said, what if he had reached out, or what if I had known, what if we were there? Guys, that's why it's so important to be connected with people that we might persevere and be helped along in the faith. When we join, when we commit to a local body to serve, we have as our express goal to help others hold fast the faith. That's why it's so important, guys. That's why I don't want to miss church, because I know that there are people at Plano right here who need me. Do you look at yourself that way? When you think about church, do you think and look at your brothers and sisters and say, they need me? Let me just tell you, they do. They need you. Secondly, how do we serve others when we join the local body? We provoke your brothers and sisters to love and kindness. That's the second thing this morning that our text points us to. We provoke our brothers and sisters to love and kindness. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I love that word stir up that it says in my translation. Maybe your translation says something a little bit different. But it's that Greek word pa'uximon, and it literally means to incite, to irritate. I'm not going to ask that. I was going to say, how many of y'all got the spiritual gift of irritation? Some of y'all's wives getting those elbows warmed up, right? But guys, in a good way, we are to provoke one another. We're to incite one another to good works. Maybe a better word would be inspire. You and I are to inspire one another to love and good works. Here's how this works. I love and do good deeds. And guess what? Somebody says, man, that's awesome. I want to try that. And so they try, and together we push one another up. We get closer and closer to Christ, how he'd have us to be. It's that synergism of a body, a team. We're greater together than we are apart. I don't know about you, man, but my heart often needs to be provoked because I can be one of the most self-centered persons you've ever met. But when we come together, right? When we come together, we strive and we're challenged to excel in love and kindness together. Would you, all by yourself, would you excel in love and kindness? One of the men I used to serve with back in the last church, he had the spiritual gift of being critical. Right? Every time we would get together in meetings and pray for one another, and we'd go around, brother, how can I pray for you? Let's talk about something specific for you, something spiritual that you need. And every time, I was there for 6 years, and every time I asked this question, he'd say, oh Lord, pray for compassion for me. Right? I need more compassion. But you know what? By himself, he struggled with compassion. But you know what? When I saw him with a group of people, right? He was able because the people around him challenged him to rise above that critical spirit and to be compassionate. I believe that Proverbs 27 verse 17 is fitting right here. You guys probably know this from memory, even though you might not know the verse and chapter and all those things. It says this, it says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We usually think about knowledge when we think in these terms, right? Right, I mean, I'm going to sharpen him. He's going to become greater, smarter in the Bible. He's going to learn more. But think about this. When we're together and we interact, we rub together like iron sharpening iron. We sharpen one another in love and good deeds. That's what happens. We challenge one another. Love and kindness, though, is contagious, isn't it? Isn't it? Right? If one person is showing love and kindness, it's so much easier for us to show it along with them and then to continue in love and kindness. And let me just remind you that our love and kindness, it has an eternal effect. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, let your light shine before men so that they may see your what? Good works, your good deeds, your love and your kindness. And then what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Guys, when we come together and we provoke one another to love and kindness, guess what you're doing? You're kingdom building. You're kingdom building. It has eternal significance. And in order to excel at love and kindness, we need one another. You know, as we think about membership, we often think of things like the YMCA or the gym, okay? When we think about being a member of something. But you know, that's not how the Bible uses member. The Bible, when it says member, it's talking about like an appendage of your body, right? Your arm is a member of your body. Your leg is a member of your body. And that's exactly what Paul points us to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says that some people are a hand and some people are a foot and so on and so forth. I don't know about you, but I couldn't imagine going through life without my right hand. You might be here and you might have lost a limb, and you could stand up and testify, or you might know someone who's lost a limb and you know how difficult it is for them to live life without one of their members. But boy, my left hand rejoices when my right hand is active, right? And together we can do great things for God. So, when we come together, here's what we should be thinking. Here's what we should be asking ourselves. Think about this. How can I stir up? How can I provoke my brothers and sisters to love and kindness? That's how we serve them. That's how we serve them. We help them persevere in the faith, and then we provoke them to love and kindness. And then finally this morning, cling. How do you serve your brothers and sisters when you join that local body? You cling to your brothers and sisters for encouragement until they see Jesus. Cling to your brothers and sisters for encouragement until they see Jesus. Look at verse 25 here in Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This is a famous verse. If you've been at church in church for very long, you probably have this memorized, especially some of you folks here who are older. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see what it's saying there? We have a tendency, especially in 2014 America, to be as connected to church as little as possible, right? What's the bare minimum I can get by with? Is it Sunday morning? Okay, that's it. I mean, is there a Sunday night? What are they doing? Is there cell groups? What? I mean, we don't know about that. Or Wednesday night? Oh, I don't know about that. Notice what it says. First, it says, don't neglect the assembling together with other believers. Don't miss out on meeting with other followers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's tough. And guess what? It's going to get tougher. I don't know what your eschatology says, but my end times doctrine says it's going to get bad, y'all. It's going to get real bad. And so, as it gets tougher, all the more. It's already tough. I need to cling to my brothers and sisters in Christ. But as it gets tougher, I'm going to cling even stronger. That's why all around the world right now, there are Christians who are risking their lives to do what we're doing right here. Risking their lives. If they were found out gathering together in Jesus' name with other believers, they would bring them out and shoot them or behead them right now. That's how precious meeting together with other believers is. And here in America, so often, we take it for granted. See, listen, you need other believers, and other believers need you. We can't forsake the assembling together of the believers. And friends, think about this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, one of two ways, someday you're going to see Jesus face to face. I don't know about you, but does that excite you? Does that make you happy to know that one day your Lord and Savior, your very Creator and Sustainer, you will see Him face to face, the one that died and bought you, you will see face to face. One of two ways you're going to see Him. You're either going to die and see Him, or the Bible says that He's coming again. And one day, He will split the eastern sky wide open. And the author of Hebrews, God speaking to us through Hebrews, says, cling until one of those happens. Cling to your brothers and sisters until the day you die or until the day Jesus comes back. You need one another. Church membership, y'all, it's not a marriage. It's not. It's not a marriage. It's not on that level of connection. But it's very similar in many ways. Think about this for a moment. Think about your brothers and sisters. For better or for worse, we stick together and encourage one another. We cling. We cling together in sickness and in health. If one is sick, right, we come around them. And we encourage them and we take them food and medicine and whatever they need. For richer or for poorer, we stay together. We make sure that especially within the body of faith, that if there's a person in need, that they're helped along. That's what clinging to one another looks like. And when do we stop? When Jesus comes back or we go to meet Him in heaven. I want to read for you all this morning as we near closing. I'll just ask, how many of you guys have ever read the church covenant here at Eastwood Baptist Church? All right, great. about 15, 20 of you. If you're a member here and you've never read the church covenant, I would encourage you to, but you're going to hear it here. If someone were to come up to me and say, Pastor, what does it mean to be a member of Eastwood Baptist Church? I would take a covenant and I would hand it to them and say, this is what it's about. Listen to what it says. It says, therefore, having been led by the Holy Spirit of God into membership of God's covenant family, known as Eastwood Baptist Church, through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and subsequent New Testament believers' baptism, we do solemnly and joyfully enter into this covenant together as one body in Christ. We covenant together to promote and protect the unity of our church family by acting in love toward one another, by refusing to gossip and resolving conflicts as one body in Christ, quickly by the model of Matthew 18, 15 through 17, and by following Christ's leadership through our appointed leaders. We covenant together to share in the responsibility for the health and advancement of our church family by regularly attending Sunday school and worship, by praying for its growth, and by personal involvement in the task of fulfilling the Great Commission through personal evangelism, and by giving biblically of our time and resources. We covenant together to serve one another and the world by equipping ourselves for service through the ministries of the church and by using spiritual gifts and talents in church through the church. We covenant together to model Christ's likeness in our daily lives by diligently studying the Bible, teaching the scriptures to our children, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, obeying the teachings of Scripture. That's what church membership is all about. It's about coming together and serving our brothers and sisters. What's in it for you? Lots of things. Amen? But more importantly, your mindset should be, how can I serve my brothers and sisters? This morning, we saw in the beginning a silly video, that Me Church video, that pictured a parody of what church should really be like. But in closing this morning, I want to show you what a real church is actually like. So we're going to close with this video.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites.
And there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic,
Baptist, Methodist,
Jewish, Mormon, Lutheran,
Pentecostal, Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional, but grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
I wonder this morning, what excuses have you been dealing with? Maybe you've been here at Eastwood for a while, and you've yet to covenant in membership, covenant together with other believers, promise to love them in Jesus and promise to hold them accountable in Jesus, to serve them. We're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. And if you're here and you feel the Lord leading you to come and covenant together, to join together in membership, I'd love to talk with you about that right up here. But let me say this. Before a person can ever be part of the local church, they have to be part of the universal church. And so what does that mean? That means that if you're here this morning and you've never turned from sin and self and placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then today is the day to do that. Today is the day that God is saying, come with hands open so that I may pour out grace and mercy upon you in abundance, overflowing. You need the grace of God more than you need the air that you're breathing right now. And so I pray during this time of invitation that if the Holy Spirit leads and moves, that you would come. I would love to share with you how you can be saved. And I would love to tell you all about this church right here. God bought the church that it might be filled with people just like the people around you. Not perfect people. People who know that they're imperfect and they're looking to Christ for their perfection. I'm going to pray, and you just be obedient to God in this time of invitation. And just come forward if the Lord is leading you. There are also prayer benches up here if you'd like to come forward and pray. You just be obedient to God. Would you stand with me as I pray? Father, I pray as we think about church membership today, that maybe in our mind, God, there's been a shift. Father, if we have come with a heart, with a mindset that says, what's in it for me? Father, there's a ton that's in it for them. Would you help them to focus, Father, instead on how they can serve their brothers and sisters and be a blessing? Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that the one here this morning who is not yet part of your family by grace through faith, they've never come to Christ, I pray today would be the day they'd say yes. And Father, I believe the Holy Spirit is touching some hearts and minds even right now, Father. Those who are followers of Jesus, yet they're not members of this local body. And I believe the Holy Spirit, even right now, God, is saying, join. Covenant and membership. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would work, that they'd be obedient to you. Father, we give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Mark, would you lead us?